Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, Text 5 through 7. We'll just chant the first verse, otherwise it'll take us forever. So text number 5, I'll read the word meanings. Pita Mahaha, my grandfathers, the five Pandavas, Yudhishthir, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, and Sahadev, my Samare, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Amaram Jayai, with fighters who could gain victory over the demigods on the battlefield. Devavrata Adya, Bhishmadev and others, Atiratai, great commanders in chief, Timingalai, resembling great Timingala fish, which can easily eat large sharks, Duratyayam, very difficult to cross, Kaurava Sainya Sagaram, the ocean of the assembled soldiers of the Kauravas. Kritva, considering such an ocean. Ataran, crossed it. Vatsapadam, exactly as one steps over a small hoofprint of a calf. Sma, in the past, yet plava, the shelter of the boat of Krishna's lotus feet. Pita Mahame Smarane Maranjayar. Deva Vrata Jati Ratai Stimingalai. Duratyayam Kaurava Sainya Sagaram. Kritvataram vatsapadam smayat plava. Pitamahame smarane maranjaray. Deva vrata jati ratai stimingalai. Duratyayam Kaurava Sainya Sagaram. Kritvataram Vatsapadam Smayat Plava. Pitamahame Smarare Maranjaya. Deva Vrata Jati Ratai Stimingalai. Duratyayam Kaurava Sainya Sagaram. Kritvataram Vatsapadam Smayat Plava. Ladies.
Pita Mahame Samare Maranjaya.
Pita Mahame Samare Maranjaya.
Devavrata Jatilatai Mingalai Duryatyam Kaurava Sanya Sagaram Kitvadaram Vatsapadam Smayaplava Pita Mahame Samare Maranjaya Deva Vrata Dhyatirataishti Mingalai Yatyayam Kaurava Sanya Sagaram Nivadaram Vatsapadam Smayaplava.
Translation. Taking the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, my grandfather Arjuna and others crossed the ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in which such commanders as Bhishma Dev resembled great fish that could very easily have swallowed them. By the mercy of Lord Krishna, my grandfather crossed this ocean, which was very difficult to cross, as easily as one steps over the hoof print of a calf. Because my mother surrendered unto Lord Krishna's lotus feet, the Lord, Sudarshan Chakra in hand, entered her womb and saved my body, the body of the last remaining descendant of the Kurus and the Pandavas, which was almost destroyed by the fiery weapon of Ashwatthama. Lord Sri Krishna, appearing within and outside of all materially embodied living beings by his own potency in the form of eternal time, that is, as Paramatma and as Virat Rupa, gave liberation to everyone, either as cruel death or as life. Kindly enlighten me by describing his transcendental characteristics. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.58, Samashritaye padapallava plavam mahatpadam punyasho murare Bhavambudir vatsapadam param padam 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 yadvipadam natesham. For one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Murari, or the enemy of the Mura demon, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's hoof print. His goal is param padam, or Vaikuntha, a place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. One who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is immediately protected by the Lord. As the Lord promises in Bhagavad Gita 18.66, Aham tvam sarva papi bhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchaha. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. By taking shelter of Lord Krishna, one comes under the safest protection. Thus, when the Pandavas took shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, all of them were on the safe side of the battle of Kurukshetra. Parikshit Maharaj, therefore, felt obliged to think of Krishna in the last days of his life. This is the ideal result of Krishna consciousness, Ante Narayana Smriti. If at the time of death one can remember Krishna, one's life is successful. Parikshit Maharaj, therefore, because of his many obligations to Krishna, intelligently decided to think of Krishna constantly during the last days of his life. Krishna had saved the Pandavas, Maharaj Parikshit's grandfathers, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and Krishna had saved Maharaj Parikshit himself when he was attacked by the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. Krishna acted as the friend and worshipable deity of the Pandava family. Moreover, apart from Krishna's personal contact with the Pandavas, Krishna is the supersoul of all living entities, and he gives everyone liberation, even if one is not a pure devotee. Kamsa, for example, was not at all a devotee, yet Krishna, after killing him, gave him salvation. Krishna consciousness is beneficial to everyone, whether one is a pure devotee or a non-devotee. This is the glory of Krishna consciousness. Considering this, who will not take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna? Krishna is described in this verse as Maya Manusha, because he descends exactly like a human being. He is not obliged to come here like karmis or ordinary living beings, Rather, he appears by his own internal energy, sambhavami atmamayaya, just to show favor to the fallen conditioned souls. Krishna is always situated in his original position as Satchit Ananda Vigraha, and anyone who renders service to him is also situated in his original spiritual identity, Swarupena Vyavastitihi. This is the highest perfection of human life. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Mena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I don't know if it was an accident or not, but what Keshava just read, Atma Sanyeshu Asatswapi, the verse was also about taking shelter. This material world forces us to take shelter, and we generally take shelter of Sanyeshu Asat, means fallible soldiers. In the context of this verse, it seems that looking at soldiers, real soldiers, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Kurus were the favored to win. I think what the odds were in Las Vegas on that fight. But they were favored to win, you would think, because they had more Akshuhinis. They had Bhishma Dev on their side. Great commanders, here is described that they were like Tamingala fish who could easily swallow sharks. The ocean, how does it say, Sagaram. Kaurava Sainya Sagaram. The Kaurava Sainya, the soldiers of the Kauravas were Sagaram. They were like an ocean. So how could they pass over? How could Arjuna pass over this ocean? Well, he did it by taking shelter of Krishna. This is, as soon as I read this and I saw this Vatsapadam, immediately I thought of this verse, Samashrita Ye. So Prabhupada quotes it to begin his purport. A lot of times, if you listen to a lot of Prabhupada lectures, you know what's coming next. Say, oh, now he's going to quote this verse. And he usually does. So here's an example, water in the hoofprint of a calf. So that comes up in this verse, Samashritaye. This is from the 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. The prayers of Lord Brahma. That chapter contains many famous verses. You find him quoted by the Vaishnavacharyas. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami quotes many of them in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is one of those often quoted verses also by devotees, at least parts of it. Padam padam vipadam. This material world, it's full of vipadam. It means danger. Padam padam. With every step there's danger. So we're always looking for shelter. We know that one of the main constituents of material existence, main characteristics of material existence, or conditioned life, Prabhupada uses this word, the conditioned soul. I was just doing some Veda-based research. I wanted to get a better idea what Prabhupada meant by conditioned. But he tends to just use it as a synonym for the soul in the material world. Although he does, in places, talk about the conditioned reaction of the soul. So the conditioned soul in this material world is always in a fearful situation. Bhayam dutiya binibeshita syad isharapetasya viparyo smriti. This verse says that our bhaya, as we're struggling in fear in this world, it comes originally from our sense of distancing ourselves from Krishna. Bhayam dutiya binibeshita syad. To have this conception, basically the idea is that I'm all alone in this. Throughout history, people have looked to the heavens and looked to the skies and trying to figure out, is there something else out there? And now we're mostly sure there's nothing else out there. This is where our jnana has taken us. This is a result of jnana, actually. You come to impersonalism or voidism. You end up with zero. Prabhupada, he quoted this this neti-neti expression, neti-neti, not this, not that. So the Gyanis' way of trying to understand the situation, trying to find out what is true, actually. What is actually true? What will last? Krishna defines truth in the Bhagavad Gita is that which lasts. What's eternal, really, is true. Sat. We know these words are actually, this definition applies to the word sat, both truth and eternity, as in Sat-Chit-Ananda, or Satyam Param Dimahi. So sat, sat means Om Tat Sat, means the absolute truth, means eternity. It also means the devotees, Satam Prasangam Amavirya Samvido, because they're related to that absolute truth. But so the Gyani is searching what is true, what's eternal. So neti, 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 they say, well, this isn't, not this, not this, not this. So Prabhupada says they keep extracting minus this, minus this, minus this. And where do they end out? Jiro. They end up at zero. Minus, 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 ultimately you end up at zero. So zero means there's no truth, there's just me. I'm all alone in this universe. There's even a question that comes up in philosophy. Do other minds exist? Or is mind the only one? Is this all just my hallucination? Is there anything real out there? Actually, even some philosophers, they propose that there's a... I think the word this one for philosopher used was daemon, which I think has become demon now. Originally, the idea was it was just some detached, unembodied spirit. So is there a daemon that's behind all of this and just basically making me crazy or making us all crazy? So we think that this is real, but it's not. So he's kind of close to the truth, wasn't he? This is what Maya Devi does. She covers our vision so we can't see. So we're looking and looking and looking. Of course, what is jnana? Jnana and science, they're on the same team. They play the same way. So what they come to the same conclusion. And what is the scientific, of course, they have a lot of their theories which they become very convinced about. So they're able to look farther and farther and farther beyond the universe. They talk about things that are light years away, millions and millions of light years away. One light year is in the trillions of miles. So when you're talking about many light years, so they have this big conception of how big things are. And they think we're the only ones here. We're all alone here. And the forces of nature, look how powerless we are. We're so tiny and insignificant. Of course, we think also that they have their theories of how they might be able to control it. One current theory is that this world is actually a computer. All of existence is like a computer. So if we can figure out how to tinker with the program, then we can make massive changes. We can be able to do amazing things. But will you be able to live forever? Well, maybe. That idea is also there too. We will be able to transfer our consciousness, whatever that is, our minds, into something physical that we can always just change another circuit, and then we'll be fine. Instead of changing a liver, we'll just change a circuit, and then we'll go on forever, embodied within some kind of machine. So all these speculative ideas go on, and what's behind it, really, that it's the quest for invincibility. We don't want to be destroyed. We don't want to die. We don't want to go out of existence. We can ask, well, why is that? Why is that within us? The struggle for existence that Prabhupada often talks about. This is, of course, at the core of Darwinian evolution. The struggle to survive. But why? Where does it come from? We say that it comes from the soul, because the soul is eternal. That's why it doesn't want to die. It's an artificial situation to be in, that your body is going to be destroyed. You're going to die. You think it's going to be to end. So if you're just part of nature, what does nature do? It's killing all the time. It's just a killing machine. So if we're just part of that, well, get used to it. That's who you are. But we say, no, there's an indication from deep within us that we have something higher. We have a higher nature. That nature is eternal. But when we're bhayam dutiya vinibeshitasya, when we separate ourselves from Krishna, from his shelter, then we're always afraid. But the devotee, of course, is abhaya. Devotee is free from fear. As Prabhupada put it, I'm Krishna's servant. He's in control of everything, so why should he be afraid of anything? Fear really comes from the not having the conviction that Krishna's in control. Of course, that's our problem. We think we're in control. Maybe that's why we freak out, because we try to arrange things and we don't have the power to control everything. There are so many things going on. For every activity, even this, of course, this is part of the speculation of jnana, you can say, or the scientist, that everything is connected. This is all part of the theory of quantum theory, which is a mind-bending idea. Things can be there and not there at the same time, and some proton here can affect a proton trillions of light years away. So how is that possible? But according to their theories and their mathematics, it has to be true. So they see this idea that everything is actually connected. So when everything is connected, then everything affects everything else. So to make something, just when Krishna, when our karma fructifies, apralabdham palam papam kutam bijam palom mukam, we know that our karma has different stages. So when it blossoms, palom mukam, the opening of the flower, when it blossoms, so many things had to be right. Just like when you plant a flower, so many things have to be right. You have to have the right soil and the right water and sunshine. Get it right. So similarly, for things to take place, everything has to be right. So when we try to control it, we may discover things don't turn out the way I want them to. Amogam bindate palam. This is the last line of a verse by Narada Muni when he's instructing Prahlad's mother, or Prahlad within the womb. One of the things he says is that inevitably our plans fail in this world. Inevitably. Prabhavas tabra bodha jato yavanda jigyasa atmata tabat kriyastavati namanovai karmatpaka yera sharira bandha. Rishabhdev says, same thing. Your karmic activity, fruitive activity, sharira bandha, keeps you bound up in material existence. That's why it's always a failure, ultimately. We may think that we're successful in doing something, some little thing in this world, but ultimately if it's material, then it's a failure. Because nunam pramata kuru devi karma ya indriya pritya apranoti sadhu manye yata atmano yam asanabhi kleshida asadeha. Now that Rishabhdev also says, as we go after sense gratification, but it's craziness. Nunam pramata kuru te vikarma. Vikarma, of course, means you do bad things. You start off with good intentions, but when the going gets rough, then people tend to give up their principles. I always think, what would happen to this country if something really bad happened? I mean, really bad, on a massive scale. Americans seem to be so soft and happy-go-lucky and la-la-la-la-la, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. If there's a waterfall coming, watch out. So sometimes I wonder, just like in the last time I gave class, Prabhupada said that the demons will fight with each other and there'll be destruction or something. So what would happen? Just like if we had a depression, we're very close to one, or we come very close to complete financial meltdown in this country. So if we had another depression like they had in the 30s, I think people are, I think, a little bit softer now than they were in 1930. It would be who knows what. When things get out of control, now we think things are in our control. Of course, what's in our control? If one thing goes bad, if the transportation system goes down, forget it. We're gone. You better have to plant your seeds and start watering really fast. Get your garden growing there. So we're not prepared, actually. And maybe we know that in the back of our minds, and that's why we're afraid. One of the things, there are many things. This world has so many things to make us afraid. We have our, of course, physical fears and psychological fears and emotional fears. Just material existence itself is just fearful by nature. So where do we turn? We turn to so many things. Really, every human endeavor that's not aimed at surrendering to Krishna is a quest for shelter, is a search for shelter. We're trying to find shelter. We shelter our minds also by engaging them in everything else so we don't have to think about the nature of existence. We live in an age of distraction. I was talking in one class how the internet is ruining our minds, actually. Changing our minds in such a way that we can't concentrate. We can't think anymore. We're hyperlinked out. You start looking at one thing and then, oh, there's something distracts you, some little flashing thing. Oh, I have to click on that and see what that says. And go here and there. People having a harder and harder time just to sit down and actually concentrate and read a book. So we're so distracted. So Prabhupada says Maya is meant to distract us from our business of self-realization. Maya is an illusory energy of the Lord meant to distract us from our business of self-realization. So part of the reason for these distractions is that we're looking for shelter. We're looking for something to engage our mind in so we forget that death is there, that all these miseries are there. We have to become intoxicated by whatever it is, whether it's intoxication or whether it's the intoxication of our work or whatever it is. These are all ways of not looking at the problem. So in Krishna consciousness, of course, Krishna tells us, Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshana darshanam. Krishna says, don't look away from these things. Don't turn away from these things. Birth, death, old age, and disease. These dukkhas, these miseries, dosha, these faults of material life. Anudarshanam. You should always be looking at them. You should always be seeing them. Of course, we see them alongside Krishna. Like Vyasadeva, when he had his realization, he said, Mayam Chattarapashrayam. He saw Krishna, and just behind Krishna was Maya. So we can see Krishna, but we can see the material miseries. That's Maya. We can see the material miseries behind Krishna. She's there also. We can say from our peripheral vision, maybe not our right in front, but our peripheral vision, because we're looking at Krishna. We want to see Krishna always. I remember this story from the old days in our movement. There was some new devotee heard this. We should always be seeing Krishna and thinking of Krishna. So this person got one of those things that you hold a harmonica on that you put around your neck, like Bob Dylan used to use. And he put a picture, a big poster of Krishna right there. He was walking around everywhere with this poster of Krishna in front of his face. Didn't want to think of Krishna. So I don't know what happened to him. Maybe he got run over by a bus in New York. Of course, he would have gone back to Godhead. That's what we're reading about today. Even those who were fighting against Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, because they were in contact with Krishna. This is the last point of this, the purport that Prabhupada makes. Basically, he explains that why did these demons get Krishna's shelter and get protection? Just because he's Krishna. Because he's powerful like fire, and anything that enters into that fire becomes like fire. As Prabhupada says here, anyone who renders service to him is also situated in his original spiritual identity. This is the highest perfection of human life. So by service to Krishna, iha yasya hriya dasye karmana manasa gira nikila swapya vastasu jivan mukta sa uchyate. One who is engaged in the service of Krishna with body, mind, and words is considered a liberated person. Jivan mukta. because of that contact with Krishna. So we're being trained to take shelter of Krishna spontaneously, reflexively. Take shelter of Krishna, because our natural reflex is to take shelter of something else. So we're learning to reflexively take shelter of Krishna. And when we do that, then we're under Krishna's shelter. When we're under Krishna's shelter, that's protection. That's full protection. Even when Krishna doesn't seem to be doing anything. Like at Kurukshetra, he was just driving the chariot. He wasn't pulling out his bow and arrows and shooting everybody. He wasn't performing like Lord Ram, killing Ravana. He was just driving the chariot. But Jayatas Pandu Putranam Yesham Pakshe Janardana, it said, victory is always with the Pandavas because they're under the shelter of Krishna. Pakshe. Literally, this word comes from the word that means, well, actually bird or wing. So under the wing, protected by the wings of Krishna. That's the Pandavas' word. And we can also be, by following their footsteps, by following the example of Arjuna. He took shelter of Krishna. Ultimately, we know in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, there were some doubts. I really don't want to fight. Finally, ultimately, Krishna convinced Arjuna. And Arjuna said, yes, you're God. I surrender. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be your instrument. So then, when you're with Krishna, there's nothing to fear. Abhayam sattvasam shuddhi. Purified existence, when you're on that state, you don't have to be afraid. Actually, Prabhupada said, even in Brahman realization, without Krishna consciousness, there's a sense of relief from fear. But it's not permanent. But when you realize, I'm not going to die, that gets rid of a lot of the fear. But ultimately, we need some occupation, we need some service. Our fear comes because we gave up our service to Krishna. So we get it back by becoming reinstated in that. And that, of course, is the message of this verse and the main message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So let me just read through the translation again. Taking the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, my grandfather Arjuna and others crossed the ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in which such commanders as Bhishma Dev resembled giant fish that could very easily have swallowed them. By the mercy of Lord Krishna, my grandfathers crossed this ocean, which was very difficult to cross, as easily as one steps over the hoof print of a calf. Because my mother surrendered unto Lord Krishna's lotus feet, the Lord, Sudarshan Chakra in hand, entered her womb and saved my body, the body of the last remaining descendant of the Kurus and the Pandavas, which was almost destroyed by the fiery weapon of Ashwatthama. Lord Sri Krishna, appearing within and outside of all materially embodied living beings by his own potency in the forms of eternal time, that is, as Paramatma and as Virat Rupa, gave liberation to everyone, either as cruel death or as life. Kindly enlighten me by describing his transcendental characteristics. Kala Rupai, I was wondering where Prabhupada. In the form of eternal time, forms of eternal time. So the Sanskrit is Kala Rupa, form of time, which Prabhupada explains to be Paramatma and Virat Rupa. So anyway, any questions or comments? Madan, I got you stumped today. Kripa Sindhu.
I just read in the third canto how the conditioned soul is always, in the material world, the conditioned soul is always accompanied by misery and ignorance. Mm. So the devotee, sometimes we forget, you know, even our life as neophyte devotees is so much more. If worse comes to worse, we're always saying, man, I haven't had a chance of good rounds today, or, oh, let me go visit and see the deities, or let me hear a class, or let me take some prasadam. So we have so many ways of taking shelter, whereas, you know, you either you have two friends there. You have, you can go to ignorance or you can go to misery, whichever one you want.
You can take shelter of one of those. Yeah, and also, of course, we know where to take shelter. People don't know. They try this, they try that. Ultimately, of course, people, they take shelter of death. When they become totally frustrated and hopeless, that's where they turn to. They've tried everything else. There's only one more thing to try. Suicide. Well, the frustration sometimes ends in that. Or suicidal philosophies, as Prabhupada said. Shunyavad. This is a philosophy of a suicidal person. Extinguish my existence. It's so bad, just kill me. That's the philosophy. So that's not the shelter. When it gets bad, we turn to Krishna for shelter. Someone else? Trivikram?
So Srila Prabhupada had wanted some of his disciples, maybe a select few, to challenge the scientists. Think like Sariputta Prabhu and Swarup Damodar and so forth. Do you think they have accomplished something of that sort? I mean, you're in that line of...
challenging the scientists. It seems what happens is that when you challenge the scientists, then the innocent people get influenced. It's very hard to change the minds of the big demons. There's that one interesting purport in the first canto where Prabhupada says there's systematic propaganda by the atheists to destroy the spreading of Krishna consciousness, basically. So there are always suras and asuras, and in this age many asuras are in the dress of scientists. Of course, they're in many other kinds of dress also. But those who are addicted to scientism, there are scientists who may not be addicted to scientism. Scientism means naturalism, that there's no possibility. We rule out the possibility that there's anything transcendent. We can only explain it by material nature. There's no other reason to explain it any other way. So we argue against that, and people, there are many people who, when they hear something like that, it affects them, because people tend not to think, as I was saying. We have so many distractions. So if they get a chance to hear something like that, they may question, oh, maybe there's more to existence than bits and particles and energy and all these things. So I think our benefit is, we may not have, recruited large groups of scientists chanting on the corner of 13th and University, but people do get influenced when we, just like it's in the Bhagavatam, many places it said both the speaker and the hearer and the audience, whoever else is present there, like at Naimisharanya, it wasn't only the two that were conversing, but everybody else that was there. So when we speak to the scientists, other people get benefit. And who knows, there are scientists who have become devotees, but it's hard when you become so ingrained. Sometimes we think, think of people, big people on the world stage today, and you think, well, what's the chance any one of those people would ever become a Hare Krishna devotee? It's probably pretty slim, at least in this lifetime. So, of course, when we preach, there's benefit to that. And there are things being done. In the realm of science, you can put, like, archaeology and what Jhutakarma Prabhu does, which is quite amazing, actually. He travels around, he gets published in many places, and he's always putting these seeds of doubt, Because what do they have? They have evolution. If you read anything that has anything to do with science or psychology or any of the hard or soft sciences, it's all evolution-based. It's just assumed. This is the absolute truth, and we'll argue from that, basically. Everything has to be argued from evolution. So that great bastion they have, I know Jhutakarma Prabhu has definitely made some pretty powerful assaults against that with his arguments and research and so on. And of course, with Sariputta Prabhu also earlier. So people are being influenced. We may not see it. We don't have a scope of all the preaching that's going on everywhere, but it's definitely going on, and people are being influenced for sure. Madam Mohan Prabhu?
took me a while. Actually, I thought of one thing, which was, there's more to this than meets the eye, is the sign, you know, the point for going beyond empiricism. But my question was, when the other people, the innocent people here, there's the Agyata Sukriti and Punya Shravana Kirtanam, that it's pious. When Prabhupada said, when you're doing Harinam on the street, you're forcing everyone to get piety. So I know there's three kinds of piety. There's, you know, karma piety, where you get a result of more sense gratification, a higher quality of sense gratification. There's jnana piety, where you make advancement in the path of jnana. So what type of result does one get from the agyata sukriti of this type of hearing of Srimad transcendental qualities?
Well, Srimad Bhagavatam, this is Punya Shravana Kirtana, this is transcendental, it's Krishna. This is direct association with Krishna. Prabhupada says in one place, I like that quote, he says, he talks about meditation on Brahman, and he says that Srimad Bhagavatam is meditation on Brahman in the most palatable form. So it is, we get to hear, now we're coming into the 10th canto, we're hearing stories about Krishna, his activities, so it's certainly very palatable, and not only that, but it's purifying. So this is transcendental. Just like Prabhupada says, if somebody just touches the Bhagavatam, then they'll get a human birth in their next life, because their spiritual life has begun.
So to continue the thought here is that, so it appears there's two different things that are going on. It's almost like a switch, that while one is in one state of existence, he's always thinking about either sense gratification or maybe getting advancement in knowledge. But as one hears about Krishna consciousness, there's another aspect of this bhakti. Like, as you were pointing out, I remember sometimes people would come, we'd see somebody out on the street that was just, we would say, that person could never be a devotee. And then it was like, 2 weeks later, he was shaved up and he was distributing books down in my... And I'm still at these points, you know, how that happened. So is it that even like the hardcore person who's one day saying so many strong things against Krishna consciousness, and then all of a sudden he just has a change of heart and he's... So does the bhakti work on like another level that's not part of the karma, not part of the jnana?
Well, Krishna says four kinds of pious persons come to me. So we also have just ordinary pious, you might say. So that such persons have an inclination to turn towards Krishna, sukriti. So arto jigyasu artarti jnani. So these four, in search of wealth, trying to get free from distress, inquisitive, or just curious, you might say, and actually inquiring about the absolute truth. So even an ordinary pious life, you might say, which is, say, a life in the mode of goodness, that's beneficial for advancement in Krishna consciousness. In that, the plant analogy, it's like preparing the soil. So if you prepare the soil, well, there's another example that's given about the spark. If a spark lands in, you know, just in the dirt, it's not going to start a fire. But if it lands in dry grass, then it'll take. So the living in the mode of goodness is that dry grass state. So people come to that in different ways. One thing, as you were saying, I was talking about people that don't come to Krishna consciousness. We tend to see that people are very highly posted and proud and very educated. They're less inclined than the drunk on the street. Unfortunately for us, but because the people who have become very, you know, defeated, when you still have that pride, you have to be a Kinchana Gochara, Kunti Devi says. The Kinchana Gochara, those who feel they have nothing, then they call out to Krishna, and that heartfelt calling out in desperation even is an impetus for advancement, for taking to Krishna consciousness. But if one is very proud, thinking I'm in control, Ishwaroham aham bogi, Krishna talk, this is the Asura's mentality. So if one is thinking, I'm a big, powerful person, I'm the president of this country, I can do anything I want, nobody can touch me, I have my armies and and so many lackeys to do my bid and call. So, God, who needs God? I'm God. So those people, very difficult. They have a long ways to go. But when you're beaten down and exhausted by the material energy and you realize your defeat, then you call out, oh my God. And then you learn, Hare Krishna is another way of saying it. Please help me, Krishna, please. Engage me in your service. Then you're on a transcendental platform, as Prabhupada says here. So we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.